Let us pray. Now, gracious Lord, speak to us. May we hear your voice over all the tumult of life and in the silence of these moments. May you break through to our hearts and our minds and transform us by the power of your word and the Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As some of you may know, I've had my second round of a rather strange flu bug. I asked the doctor this week why it is that I've contracted two terrible flus this year, even in spite of a flu shot. And he said, "Have you not heard of the Washingtonian vulnerability?" I said, "No." He says, "The bigger they are, the harder they fall." It's a good thing that in the midst of our difficult times and places, God speaks loudly. Even in a quiet voice, God's voice is more powerful than the storm. That's the message of Psalm 29. Psalm 29 does not say where storms come from, and it surely does not pin the storms on the character of God. God does not create the storms of life. But Psalm 29 affirms that God is present in the storms of life, and God is greater than the storms of life. In Scripture, waters always represent the times of trouble for human beings, and storms are the worst times of trouble. Water shows up when the people of God are in a difficult place, the crossing of the Red Sea, the crossing of the Jordan River, the crossing of the Sea of Galilee in the time of the disciples. The storms on the water are those big crises in life. If you are in the midst of a big crisis or several of them, this psalm is for you. In a sense, our culture today is storm-oriented. Meteorological, seismic, economic, political, physical, ecclesiastical storms brew all the time, and we delight in identifying where the storms are, where they're hitting, and anticipating that they're coming. We even have a weather channel that reminds us regularly of the stories of the storms. This has been a year of storms, tsunamis, earthquakes, Hurricane Katrina, storms all the way up to having to name them Zeta because we ran out of other names. Storms happen. There is no avoidance of them. The Scripture does not try to somehow explain them away. But it does not blame God for the storms. Neither does the psalm. Even our advertising on television recognizes the immediacy and urgency of some storms of life. You may have seen that ad from Nationwide Insurance with MC Hammer where he's doing a dance, "Can't touch this, can't touch this." And just a few moments afterwards, they're walking off with his car, his house, and his furniture. The storms and the statement that life can come at you fast. The perfect storm in your life may be a combination of storms. It may be that not only is there a global outbreak of storms, but there are vocational storms and personal storms. There may be even spiritual storms and emotional storms that brew within you. It may be the time of the perfect storm in your life when it seems like there is nothing going right. Where is God in the midst of the storm? That's really what the psalm answers here. God speaks in the midst of the storm. God is greater than the storm. Storms will not overwhelm the presence of God. The voice of God is over the waters. The voice of God is heard above the chaos. The voice of God is more powerful, thundering, and majestic than everything the storm can throw at us. The voice of God can break cedars and cause the ships of Lebanon and Sirion to skip across the waters. The voice of God makes nations skip. Voice flashes like the fire, the flames of fire, and shaking the wilderness like an earthquake. The voice of God is greater than anything that creation and humanity can throw at God. The psalm clearly tells us that God speaks in the midst of storms. God's voice can be heard over the storm. It may not be heard in the voluminous qualities of the bigness of the voice, but in the still, quiet silence of a voice that's heard from the inside out, as Elijah heard after the storm hit the mountain. But this psalm makes clear that it is not just any voice that speaks. This is not just any God. The word for God here is not the general word for God, but the specific word of a personal relationship with the Lord, Yahweh. God has a personal relationship with His people, and His people can know His voice. The Lord Yahweh speaks, and His people know how to hear the voice and listen. And God's purpose in speaking is to bring strength and peace to His people. We believe, therefore, today that God speaks to us in the midst of our storms. God speaks to us in our Reformed tradition according to how we hear God in creation, in human history, in Scripture, in Jesus the Lord personally, in community by the power of the Spirit, in the leadership community that we have ordained and installed today, in word and sacrament that we celebrate, that preaching is connected to the Lord's Supper. The Lord speaks in prayer, in personal and communal prayer. The Lord speaks. We believe the voice of the Lord can be heard, understood, and acted upon. We see Jesus in the midst of storms in the Gospels. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is in two places with the disciples in the midst of storms. The first scene is when Jesus is in the boat with the disciples and they are on the Sea of Galilee and the storm has broken out and overwhelming the boat. The disciples are concerned because Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And so they plead with Jesus to wake up, and He wakes up and He says, "Peace, be still," and the storm quiets. The second scene is Jesus sending the disciples out across the Sea of Galilee, and He does not go with them. He sends them out there by themselves, and they are found in the middle of the lake rowing as hard as they can, but they can't make any progress against the waves that are beating against them. And Jesus, as if with a sense of humor, comes walking across the lake in the middle of the night and passes them by as if to say, "You guys are pretty slow." And the disciples call out to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" Jesus speaks in the midst of the storms in both cases. Jesus is present in the storm in both cases. But our temptation as disciples is to believe that Jesus is passing us by or Jesus is asleep in the boat. There are some false voices that speak on behalf of God sometimes. It is important that we learn to discern the difference between God's voice and voices that represent lesser gods. Individuals who claim authority but have no accountability to the Word of God or to Jesus, do not listen to those people, for they speak out of turn. People who speak loudly and often and aggressively and with almost a bullied attitude and anger, do not listen to those voices. They do not represent the voice of God. People who claim to have authority because they represent a few people of a congregation or of a group speak as if the God has spoken, but do not pay attention to them because they do not represent the leadership authority of the call of God in the congregation. Parental figures who usurp God's voice, people who have a lot of opinions that make them audible, but they're never accountable, those are not the voice of God. People who say God does not speak at all, do not listen to those people. That is not true. People who believe the stars speak for God, the stars do not speak. God speaks. God does not need stars to speak. People who say God's voice is primarily one of judgment and condemnation, do not listen to those people because that is not the voice of God. How do we discern the voice of God over and against lesser voices? God speaks to create and recreate, not to destroy. God speaks to send out and not retreat. God speaks to invite people into God's presence and not reject. God speaks to liberate and not imprison. God speaks to confront but not confound. God speaks to forgive and not condemn. The Lord speaks to give life and not take it away. The Lord speaks to reconcile but not divide. The Lord speaks to build up and not tear down. The Lord speaks to bless and not curse. The Lord speaks to strengthen but not weaken. The Lord speaks to faith and not fear. The Lord speaks to embrace and not driving people away. Learn to discern the voice of the Lord, because there are many other voices that are not God's voice. In our Reformed tradition, as we have shown today, we affirm that the voice of the Lord is best heard in the community of leadership. We are not a part of the Anglican Catholic tradition that says that an individual, a pope or a bishop, can speak God's voice. We are a part of a different tradition that says God's voice is only heard in community, where the elders gather together in prayer and discernment and discussion and listen for the voice of God to speak. God's voice speaks in the community, and decisions are made among the elders together. Leadership listens and learns and leads. The congregation enfranchises the leaders to make good decisions for them. We are not a congregational government where we believe the Lord speaks in the congregation. We believe the Lord speaks among the leaders of the congregation and makes decisions accordingly. So it is important that we understand the Lord does speak in specific ways in our Presbyterian tradition. The Lord speaks definitively, according to Psalm 29, in the midst of the hardest times, when the leaders are in the face of fire. Sharon Dallas Parks, in her newest book, Leadership Can Be Taught, talks about the importance of leadership facing times of fire. Acts of leadership are tested in fire, she says. The fire of competition and markets, the fire of the boardroom, the fire of legislative process, the fire of office morale, the fire of public scrutiny, the fire of organizational dysfunction, even in the fire of failure. Leadership learns that there is a voice to be learned in the midst of the fire. Fire tempers our arrogance, shatters our illusions, threatens destruction, bears gifts, keeps us open to complexity, helps us through ambiguity and mystery, and makes the ongoing creation of life possible. Leadership prospers and deepens and matures under fire. In Rembrandt's painting with Jesus and the disciples on the boat in the storm of Galilee, Rembrandt has the flood and the storm pouring over the boat. The disciples are in chaos. The storm is wreaking havoc with their sense of the order of things. They're going in every which direction just to survive, and some are in the boat pleading with Jesus to wake up. The 12 are all over the boat, and some are even throwing over the boat. But there's a 13th disciple in Rembrandt's painting. That 13th disciple represents the person who understands how to hear the voice of the Lord in the midst of the storm. That 13th disciple is in the midst of the boat, kneeling in prayer before the Lord and waiting for the Lord to speak. And the Lord is asleep. Are you that 13th disciple today? Are we the 13th disciple as a congregation? Are we going frenetically wild because the storms are taking over our lives? Or are we willing to be patient in the midst of the storm to hear the voice of God? Dag Hammarskjöld, Secretary General of the United Nations, kept a personal biographical set of notes called markings or signposts in his life. He kept it from the age of 20 years of age. About 1950, when he was 45 years old, he made a note in his markings. It was a kind of white book talking about his strugglings between himself and God. And that note said, "In a whirling fire of annihilation, in the storm of destruction, and deadly cold of an act of sacrifice, you would welcome death. But when it slowly grows within you day by day, you suffer anguish, anguish under the unspoken judgment which hangs over your life while leaves fall in the fool's paradise. Dog was under the dark night of the soul when the fire of loneliness and darkness was covering his life. He gave similar entries in 1951 and 1952, 3 years in the dark, darkest times of his life. When the fires were burning heavily and brightly, but the clouds and the smoke were covering all of the goodness that he could possibly see within himself. But then on New Year's Day in 1953, he gives this change of attitude and perspective. I don't know who or what put the question to me, but at some moment I did answer yes. And at that hour I was certain that existence is meaningful and that therefore my life and self-surrender had a goal. As I continue along the way, I learned step by step, word by word, that behind every saying in the gospel stands one man. Also behind each word, that man on the cross. Jesus is with us in the midst of the storms because Jesus endured the most complex and difficult storm of humanity on the cross. There is no storm that God cannot meet or speak within. If you are in a storm today, God wants to speak. Are you patient enough to listen? Are you paying attention? Are you with others who can help you hear the voice of the Lord in community? The voice of the Lord speaks in the storm. Are we listening? Let us pray. Gracious God, for your power and voice, that you will not leave us alone, but that you will address us when life is the most difficult. We ask now that you would speak to us individually, as a church and as a nation, as a people on this earth. May we hear your voice and do the word that you've given us to do in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.